Leviticus 7 and verse 11. Now, that's where I want to start. So Leviticus chapter 7, we'll start verse 11 and go down to verse 16. It said, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it, he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth the sacrifice, his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come in tonight. Lord, we ask that you would help us tonight to learn something from your word. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to understand what you're showing us here. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for these things that you've given us. Thank you for all the wondrous blessings. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit would allow each of us to be taught tonight from your word. We love you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. So this offering of thanksgiving we see is a kind of peace offering. And you know, one of the things you can just understand right from that at the beginning is that you can't separate peace from thankfulness. You can't take them apart. You can't be, and I can't be fully thankful until we have the peace that can only come from God. The peace that passes all understanding. And this was a special type of offering. You know, in Leviticus, it talks about sin offerings, trespass offerings, and different things. They had all sorts of different offerings that they gave, when they would dedicate a child and different things. But this offering was different. See, those offerings came at a certain time or a certain situation. When you would have to do these, this offering of thanksgiving was when the person bringing that offering made the decision in their heart that they wanted to bring it. Does that make sense to you? So instead of, once a year for the atonement, or instead of, after so many days after a child's born, you're dedicating the child, this is, I want to bring an offering to the Lord in thanksgiving. And you could do that any time of the year. There was no limitations on when you could do that. So I want to look at some of these requirements, because I think it'll show us something that we can apply today. Obviously, nobody in here is Jewish, so we are not following this part of the law. And again, this is a ceremonial part. So even if you were Jewish, Jesus Christ fulfilled these things. That if it points to Jesus, then we can push these aside and we can just go straight to Jesus. But what he was showing them in a lot of these things, I've already given it away. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in parts of this offering. So I want to look at tonight, if you were a Jewish person at this time, under the law, offering something to God in thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but we can offer things to God in thanksgiving. Don't we have something to be thankful for? This is the time of year where we have a date on the calendar, we get a day off work, and so on and so forth, that I am telling you, we have so much to be thankful for tonight. So he gives some instructions on this offering of thanksgiving. And in verse 12, we know first you would take an animal. And the animal could be a lamb, could be a bull, could be, any number of things. That wasn't what was important on this one. But one of the things you'll see is there were requirements that went with the animal. So I'll just say it was a lamb. That's what we decided to bring for our Thanksgiving offering. So we've got a lamb. And the first thing that would happen is the fat would be removed from that animal and it would be burned on the altar. And then verse 12 talks about unleavened cakes. And these are like loaves of bread, and they didn't have any leaven, didn't have any yeast. And we know that leaven in the Bible is always a representation of sin and corruption. Right? When it talks about leaven, why does the Bible mention unleavened bread? It's talking about purity. It is talking about sinlessness. That's what it's pointing to. And remember, I believe it's the Passover. Before the Passover, they would sweep their houses clean. They would get rid of any leaven at all. Because what's the Bible say? Just a little bit leaveneth the whole thing. Just a little bit of it will take over everything, which is just like sin. A little bit of sin left over, a little bit of sin that's not swept out and taken care of, will end up taking over everything. So you're thinking about, we've got this animal, but we've also got this unleavened cake, and then the unleavened wafer, which is kind of like a pancake. It's kind of opposite what we would think in our language. But they're bringing these things, and this bread, this unleavened bread, was without corruption. And the problem is, if we're looking at ourselves, we can't say that we're without corruption. We can't say that we're without sin. The priest that you would have brought this to couldn't have claimed that there was no guile found in his mouth. And we've got this impossible standard, it seems like, in God's Word, until one day, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, Isaiah said, "He shall be called one Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Remember, this is part of the peace offering. Jesus Christ would fulfill the requirements of God the Father. He would live a sinless life. He would speak perfectly. He would do all of these things and even face the same temptations, the same emotions that we face today. So when you're talking about these unleavened cakes, this purity, this non-corruption inside of this sacrifice, you've got a representation of Jesus Christ. So when you're bringing something in Thanksgiving, not only did we bring a spotless lamb, we also brought some unleavened bread and cakes and wafers to go with it. And it said it was mingled with oil. We know that they used oil for different things. They used oil to light their lamps. They used it for cooking. They used it as lotion for their skin. But oil in the Bible is also a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. You know, over and over again, you see that. And in Acts 10, 38 and 39, listen to this. We've got a sermon right here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In 39, says, "And we are witnesses of these things which you did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." So if we are talking about Thanksgiving, if we're talking about being thankful to God, and we're bringing an offering to God in thankfulness, we need to remember that the biggest reason, the primary reason we can be thankful today, is because of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Without that, we wouldn't have thanks for anything today. Amen. Thank the Lord for our salvation. Yes. Thank the Lord that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, died on the cross to satisfy the penalty of sin. I'm thankful for that. So look at verse 13. "Beside the cakes that we just talked about, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering." Now this is a little strange. He just told you, make sure you get unleavened bread and unleavened wafers, right? But I also want leavened bread. Well, now this is interesting. If you go to all the trouble of not having the corruption, not having all of this stuff, but then you've got another one that represents corruption. So you've got the uncorrupted wafers, the uncorrupted cakes, and the corrupted ones, and they're brought together into the same offering. You know what I think that represents?
I think it represents the one with no corruption, the one who was sinless, being joined to the one that had corruption all together in one. Do you see what's happening? They're bringing it together. This is the only time you're going to see leaven pulled together like this and joined together. And if we're being thankful, like I said, we need to be thankful for what Jesus did, but also be thankful for the fact that He wants a relationship with us. Yeah, that the fact that we've got access to the Father, we can go to Him boldly before the throne of grace, and the only reason our corruption can do that is because of Jesus Christ. And He's put it together in this sacrifice right here. Joined together. The sinner joined with the Savior. We can be thankful for that. The other reason I think He puts leaven there together and requires it is because we need to be thankful in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Right? That's hard for us, isn't it? We say in good things, give thanks, right? When things turn out the way we want to, give thanks. When it all goes according to plan, give thanks. That's not what Paul said. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many times, in these times of trials, these times of hurt, these valleys, the depression, and everything else, it's hard to give thanks, isn't it? It's hard to praise, isn't it? It's hard to do all those things. But I'll tell you what, once you get through that valley, that trial, that spot that you're in, that season, and you look backward, you can see where God was with you. You can see where God took care of you. In fact, He promises that He is nearer to the brokenhearted. We know that from His Word. So we see that God is right there. And a lot of times I know in my life, when I've gone through trial, when I've gone through disappointment, when I've gone through tough times, all it caused me to do is to lean more on God, to lean more on His Word and His promises, to get more serious with prayer and trusting Him. And the great thing that I've said over and over again is the trials are always temporary. It is always temporary. You're saying, well, Mike, what if something's wrong with my body and it'll never be cured? I'm here to tell you, we're going to have a new body. So even if it's a health problem that can't be solved and you take it all the way to the grave or the rapture, He's going to fix it after that. Jimmy's not taking the insulin pump with him. He's not doing that. He's tired of the classes anyway. Right?
Amen.
And so here's what we've got. Even in the bad times, even in the dark times, we can look to Him and say, I'm still thankful. I'm still thankful, God. I am. And that's what He wants. It's hard. It's easier to say, but harder to do. So you've got the unleavened and leavened portion together. And they have this thing called the wave or the heave offering unto the Lord. And I'll show you what happens. The priest will take part of it and he will lay it on the hands. Right? He'll lay part of the sacrifice. If I'm bringing the sacrifice, he's going to lay part of it on my hands. And then the priest is going to put his hands under my hands. Alright? And he's going to guide them. And he's going to make it go forward and backward. And then up and then down. Think, well, wait a second. It doesn't make much sense, does it? I want you to look at my hands. Now look at the cross. He's going to take your hands and he's going to make them go forward and then backward. And then he comes back and goes upward and downward. What's he just done? What's he just done? Do you realize something? God is not... He did not design this to trick the Jewish people when Jesus Christ came. Do you realize that?
That's right.
Everything pointed to Jesus Christ. Everything pointed to salvation. Everything pointed to the blood. Everything pointed to the cross. Everything pointed that way. Whether it's in this sacrifice or whether they can't. That if you look at it, I saw a preacher line it out based on the numbers and where they camped, where the tabernacle was. They camped this way, and they camped that way, and they camped that way, and they camped that way. And the bigger number was this way. And the smallest number was that way. And they were equal numbers that way. It made a cross. Everything made a cross for them. Why? Because he was trying to show them something. When Jesus came, he was trying to say, I'm him.
Yes.
He was trying to be tricky. He was trying to do those things. But they didn't want it. It's so sad. It's so sad. Can you just imagine it being in your hands, making the cross, and then what's he do right after that? It says he sprinkles it with blood. It's right there.
Yeah.
There it is. Then, verses 15 and 16, he breaks it down into three types. As we're getting near to the end. Three types of these. Number one is the thanksgiving offering, right? Which is what we commonly think of. This is the thanksgiving offering. So it's giving thanks, thanking God for something He's done, right? I mean, that's the easy one. So, but notice in verse 15, the thanksgiving offering has to be eaten the same day that it's offered. That means that come the next morning, you got to burn it all and get rid of it. Okay? You know what he's saying right here? He is saying that nothing can be held over to another day. Right? So that means yesterday's thankful heart isn't going to work today. Right? Yesterday's sacrifice, thanksgiving, is not for today. That means each day we have to be thankful for what he's done. Right? Right now. That's what it's saying. It won't work for tomorrow. We must be thankful today because yesterday's gone and we're not promised tomorrow. So today is the day. We need to make thanksgiving a way of life. So that's the first type. The second type of thanksgiving offering is for a vow. It's because so you would be celebrating an answered prayer after that same person vowed to praise the Lord if he answered that prayer. And this, a good example, is Hannah. Remember her? She was wanting a son. And when she dedicated Samuel, she also gave a thanksgiving offering. She did both at once. So she was dedicating him to the Lord and what she had to do, the one offering. And then she gave a peace offering and thanksgiving because the Lord had answered her prayer. And she made her vow good. She said, I'm giving him back to you. So that's a vow. That's the second one. And that one could be eaten that day and the next day, but not the third day. The third one, you see, in verse 16, is a voluntary offering. Now, I like this one. See, the thanksgiving offering is when you're thanking God for what He's done. The voluntary offering is you're thanking Him before He's done something, or you're just thanking Him to thank Him. Oh, I like that. I like that. Do you realize something? That voluntary offering, look at what the word means. I can't force you to do it. I can try to preach hard at you, but I can't force you to do it. It won't work. That voluntary offering is the most pure form of being, of the word voluntary. You are deciding that it, either it's because of just who God is, or just, you know, saying that I know God is with me. I know His promises are true. So I'm going to offer Him an offering of thanksgiving. I'll tell you what would do us some good is if we, number one, we thank Him for what He's done. And that's a good thing. But you can't get carried up on what He's done all the time and be stuck in the past as if we'll never move on. And you, yes, you need to thank Him when you vow something and He does it. But I'm telling you what, we need to thank Him for what He hasn't done yet, because we, this church is serious in prayer. This church believes in the power of prayer. So sometimes we just need to thank Him ahead of time, thank Him on credit, however you want to put it, and just say, God, I know You can handle it. I know this is not too big for You. I know You're powerful. I've seen You do it before. I know You'll do it again. And I'm going to thank You before You do it. Praise God. I'm just going to thank You because You're God and You deserve it.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. But you know what today? I already told you we're not Jewish. So how do we, what's this have for us today? Listen to Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Hebrews is what helped the Jews
to see Jesus. That's what it's designed for, the book. Read what it says. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You and I aren't bringing lamb today. We're not baking the wafers. We're not doing the unleavened bread. We're not going through any of those parts. But Hebrews tells us that the sacrifice that He wants to see when it comes to thanks is the sacrifice on our lips. And I thought about that and I thought, now wait a second. Back in those days, they would have had to take one of their flock. They would have had to buy an animal or take one that they raised. They need to bake the cakes. They need to do all this stuff, take time out of their schedule. They have to take it to the priest and go through all the things. And then just to show that they were thankful to God. That would have been a lot of work to do that. Amen. It would have taken time and effort. But I am here to tell you, all God said is, I just want to see some thanks coming from your lips to me. That's a sacrifice. And I'm thinking, how could that be a sacrifice today? And I think that this present day and age is answering the question for us. When we come in here to worship Him, people would rather be somewhere else. They'd rather be doing something else. And I'm telling you what, to the world, what you and I are doing is a sacrifice tonight. Although tonight, I just say it's the reasonable service. I'm just coming in here because God is worth it. I'm coming in here because of what He's done to me. I'm coming in here because what He's going to do.
Amen.
And I'm thanking Him tonight. Praise God. He's worthy. He's worthy of our sacrifice of thanks. So if that's true, then what are we waiting on? It doesn't cost you an animal. Barely even cost you much time. You don't even have to only do it while you're here. You can do it anywhere. You can use the devil's playground, social media, and you can write something that's saying you're thankful to God and really mean it and let everybody see it. It costs us very little. You know, one last thing about this offering that was unique about it. It had several unique things, but the last unique thing I'll close with is that this was the only offering that was shared. So all the rest, the priest would get, the fire would get. In this one, the priest would get some, the Levites would get some, and the one that offered it would get some. And even if there were poor people, they would get some. Or other people around, they would get a little bit of it. You know what? I just sat there and I thought about that. You would all sit down together after that sacrifice, after making the cross, after sprinkling the blood, after going through all those things, and you would literally be eating the meat of somebody's thankfulness. Literally eating that lamb, that cow, whatever you brought, eating the meat, eating the sacrifice together. They would join together and enjoy the thankfulness together. And it just reminds me, this was a physical thing they did together. But I don't know how many times we have come in here and spiritually someone has offered up a testimony, offered up some praise to God with their lips of thankfulness. And every one of us got to sit there and eat of it and enjoy it and give us food for our soul. I don't know about you, but I have trouble making it without from time to time other people reminding me that what I already know in my heart is that God is good. He answers prayers. He is feeding us every day. He's taking care of us every day. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad we can come in to this house and we can feast together. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you what, you're thinking, Mike, you mean God put all that together just for someone in that day to say thank you? Let me tell you something, God thinks it's important.
Yes.
And God's pleased with it. Here to tell you, we need to be thankful.
Amen.
Not just Thursday.
That's right.
But all the time. And every once in a while, Just turn to God and say thank you.
Amen.
Say thank you in the prayer closet by yourself. Say thank you when you're in here.
Yes.
And everywhere in between.
Yes.
I'm telling you what, it'll bless you. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.